No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show for the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And now Keith has not been with us the last couple of weeks. He's had like Zika or something, some exotic
Zika
disease.
Virus.
Is that what it was? And finally, you took the proper suppository and you're good to go?
And I'm good to go.
All right. So Ed is sick this week.
Boy, my voice is still just a little bit off, but you know, we'll make it work.
Well, that just brings you down to like human level or slightly above. You know, because
he's got that voice of God, you know, Barry White, what's going on, ladies?
All right, so you'll manage, though.
I'll manage.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so I need your help, Keith, because for once we're going to do this show and have it be all about me for the first time ever.
So why do you need my help?
Well, no, you have to answer my question.
Sounds like a normal show.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Anyway, here's the deal. I've been asked by the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism to head over for a big press junket that they're doing, you know, next week. I'm not at liberty to say anything more than that because it's kind of like a big deal, and you know me, I'm kind of a big deal.
You're a big deal. Yeah.
yeah, obviously.
Sharknado 3.
Nobody else would say yes, so I got roped into. No, I'm actually looking forward to it. However, of course, when you're talking about a trip this last minute, the commercial carriers have their schedules, their flight costs are ridiculous. And really, in this case, it's not so much the cost. I actually found okay prices because I'm just flying into Nassau and Freeport and bouncing around a little bit. And, you know, they're going to pick up the tab probably anyway for something like this. But regardless, you know, I want to keep the cost down. But the thing is the schedule and trying to get over there and get back and forth from Orlando, you know, in a reasonable time. Because it happens to be my wedding anniversary as well. So if I don't get back in time, I could be in big trouble.
You're going to be in the doghouse.
Yes. So
this is where having your private pilot certificate comes in handy.
Yeah, see?
Because you could fly over there when you wanted. You could fly back when you needed to be.
Correct.
So you could be here for your anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that is
my
dilemma.
Anniversary was a couple of weeks ago.
And did you fly to the Bahamas and try to miss it, or what?
I was flat on my back in bed.
Well, that's all how most people spend their anniversary.
Yeah, but I was all by myself. My wife wasn't even around. She didn't want to be around me.
Okay.
Because, you know, the Zika virus, you know, that's, you know.
Well,
you don't want to be around people when they have that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's transmitted on more than, you know, just the mosquito thing.
Yes.
You don't know this, do you?
No.
Oh, so, God, help you now.
So anyway, 32 years for my lovely bride and myself, and we didn't even celebrate, so.
All right, so it's still to come.
It is still to come.
Okay, well, maybe you need to go over to the Bahamas and fly me over there and bring her along, too. It will not knock out two birds with one stone.
There you go. You see, take your wife with you, too.
That was the thing. I was thinking by now, at this point of doing Just Plain Radio, I'd meet enough pilot friends where I could just say, hey, buddy, I need to head over to the Bahamas. Can you fly me over there and I'll hook you up? And here we are, and still nobody wants to be around me. What's up with that?
Now, how many times have I flown you to the Bahamas?
Well, you've done that a few times, yes. So I guess president company excluded.
Excluded, yeah. That's correct.
But
yes.
You know, you've got Zika. They won't let you in the Bahamas.
No, they probably won't.
They won't. They'll go. He has to go. What?
Kick me out.
No, he doesn't have Zika. We're joking. Just in case they're listening, because then they'll probably say, "Hey, you're close to some guy who has Zika." No. You're not allowed over here into paradise. No way. No.
I just had a pretty nasty case of bronchitis. Is all I had. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Dennis, our pilot friend who just got certified. Maybe I should call him. Say, Dennis, you want to go over there?
It'd be a long flight for him.
It would be, because he had come down from Lake Minnetonka, so that wouldn't be convenient, would it?
No.
See, I'm running out of options.
So when do you have to go?
I got to go this coming week, like Tuesday to Thursday. So I'll do two nights in the Bahamas. Let's see, into Freeport, out of Nassau. So they have me bouncing around while I'm there.
Are you taking a boat from Freeport to Nassau?
I don't know. I once I get there, it's up to them where they take me. They may take me to jail for all I know. You know, and
getting you there under the guise of doing this,
exactly,
this big promo and
hey, come over to Mama's, man. We can take care of you.
No
sure.
problem, man.
Yeah, you get here. Well, maybe you get back.
So, if I do fly you over there, how do we do it? We fly into Freeport, then
yeah.
you go by boat or whatever over to Nassau.
Well, I'd bring you to, or we'd just fly over there to Nassau.
But then the airplane's in Freeport.
Well, no, we'd fly it to Nassau.
Yeah, okay.
If I did that, we'd fly. I mean, I think the plan is they're going to fly us over to Nassau on Thursday morning, or no, Wednesday morning. So fly in Tuesday afternoon, do a thing. You know, Wednesday morning there in Freeport, and then yeah, Wednesday afternoon or I don't know. When am I getting my day? I don't know. One of those days, we get over
it's
there.
It's only 2 days. It's got to be one of them.
Yeah. Well, they're flying us over to Nassau at some point.
Okay.
I assume. I don't think we're taking a boat. I don't know. Is it that close anyway? It's not. You can't do a boat from Freeport to Nassau. I guess you could.
You could, but
no. I think they're planning to fly us over on a little puddle jumper flight. Because they're having two press events, one on this island, one on the other.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what, you got a plane available? You want to go play?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is the first I've heard of it, so I'd have
yeah.
to
So I don't want to put you on the spot, but yeah. I actually want to put you on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, I have airplanes. We have airplanes available to us.
That could do such a thing?
Sure.
Hmm. Yeah, but
so it's just a matter of are they available on those days?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, fuel, too, would be kind of pricey, wouldn't it?
Well, they're paying for it, right?
Well, I could get them to cover the fuel, but wouldn't that, yeah, I mean, because that would be about the same price as an airline ticket, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I don't know. See what you can do. I guess, I mean, I didn't even think of that as an option, honestly. Believe it or not, you'd think, surely, Greg, why didn't you call me early? I thought there's no way in hell you'd do that.
I've done it for you before. Why wouldn't I know, do it for you now?
But not this last minute. We've planned this stuff.
We've planned it.
You know, out, you know, a few weeks in advance at least. This kind of popped up out of nowhere. But I was just thinking, my guess was that maybe I could just, you know, call up Orlando Executive or the FBO there and find out if anyone's flying over the Bahamas next week. Does that happen? Is there hitchhiking or jet hiking, as we've talked about in the past?
You know, there are people that do that. We haven't seen it much at Executive where we're at. No,
yeah, they don't encourage that kind of thing.
Well, there's just not that many people that do it.
Yeah, you don't see anyone out there on the tarmac with their thumb up.
No,
that doesn't happen. It doesn't work like that. How would you do that? Just go into the FBO and say, "Hey, you know, any of the pilots here want to go or going over the Bahamas need a extra first mate."
Well, what was that girl's name that we talked to that we talked to her a couple of times, actually,
right,
that did that? She went for all 48 states, right? Or 50 states.
Well, there's 50, yeah. There's 50 of them.
Yeah, but
there's 48 at the time.
There was 48 that she had been to, and there was
right.
two she
That's
was trying was. To get to.
Yeah.
And one of them was Hawaii, and the other was Alaska.
Yeah, I think she accomplished her goal.
She did.
Yeah.
But she just went to the local airports wherever she ended up and just sat in there and talked to people. Hey, where are you heading? You know, I'm trying to get here. You know,
yeah,
I can get you halfway. I can do this. So,
yeah,
that's
kind of
what she did. But
yeah,
you'd have to spend some time at the airport in order to get, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a loiter. You know what I'm saying? I don't really believe in loitering. Is that right? The way you say that?
Loitering?
Yeah, we'll go with that one. yeah, maybe. You know, and Orlando probably wouldn't be the place to do that. If you're down in Fort Lauderdale or Miami, where people are jumping back and forth from the Bahamas all the time, that might
actually a little bit more.
A better chance of doing it.
Yeah. A little bit better chance at success.
Yeah. But as far as like an empty leg type of thing, they have those type of services where you could look it up online, I guess, and just see if someone happens to be flying back from the Bahamas or whatever. It's actually the flight back is what's killing me. Going there, I got a schedule that'll work. But flying back, you know, from Nassau, that's the one where I'm trying to expedite the process. But have I thought through all these, you know, scenarios well then? Or is there anything I'm forgetting other than, you know, having you do it?
Well, either that or just charter an airplane to do it.
Yeah, and if I did that, but Yeah, big bucks.
Yeah.
You got to pay by the hour. And that, I mean, wouldn't that be the same as just chartering? Well, that'd just be right. chartering your own flight.
Yeah.
And they charter by the hour. It could be like $1,500 an hour or something like that.
Yep.
Hmm. But if you rented a plane.
But then you can go anytime you want. You can come back anytime you want.
Hmm. Because I did look at that. And a trip to Orlando from Freeport, what they would charge me, though, both legs back and forth for the plane, right? So it'd probably be
right.
at least 3 hours,
right.
an hour and a half each way. So, yeah, that wouldn't work. Unless they wanted to just do it for free.
Because you're a big deal.
Well, and I would talk nicely of them on Just Plain Radio. Would that work, you think?
Well, it's worth the try.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I haven't really
thought
this through.
And again, you might have more luck with that if you went down to Lauderdale or whatever, drove down there and tried it from there.
Yeah, get stranded down there in South Florida.
Exactly,
that sounds like fun. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
They always listen to the tower. They never question the authority of the tower. Well, the tower's telling us to hold. Well, so what about that? Just once, I want to hear, the tower's telling us to hold, but you might notice I'm rumbling along the grass. If you look out the right, you'll show those aircraft lined up on the runway. The tower keeps telling us we're number 19 for takeoff. I say we're number one. What's the tower going to do? Hey, you! You can't exhibit that type of behavior! You're right, I shouldn't have done that. No, I should have listened better. If you need me, I'll be up in the clouds.
You must be a pilot to know that move.
You can really fly, and while you're up there, turn around and touch the sky. I guess the point of getting out is never saying goodbye.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. We're your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. We'll get to some of that. Kind of talking about me for now. Or at least an issue I'm dealing with, trying to charter a flight possibly to the Bahamas or just get there. It's kind of interesting. I was You know, I didn't know this before this popped up on my radar, but I'd actually just applied for global entry. Have you done that, Keith?
I have not, no.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
I do. Yeah.
You know, on my last trip, I was just flying domestically, and I got approved for TSA pre. And if you don't know, that's the thing that lets you skip through, you know, security a little faster. You don't have to take your shoes off and that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't even know why I got approved for it on this particular flight back from Cincinnati. It was just maybe random. Hey, you're a nice guy. Let's do this kind of thing. I'm like, a friend of mine was telling me I needed to do global entry. And I'm thinking, oh, wait, that's different. TSA pre is just domestic stuff. Lo and behold, I started reading some of the signs and realized that if you get global entry, you get TSA pre.
Right.
So I've applied. I have been, I don't know, what is it, conditionally approved at the moment. I have to go to an interview at the end of May and get fingerprinted and all that kind of stuff. I might be getting arrested. I'm not sure if I've been approved or they finally caught me. You know what I'm saying? But we'll cover that.
You'll find out at the end of May.
Yeah. And if you're interested, it is kind of convenient. And I do travel to places like the Bahamas and quite a bit for our dive show. In particular, I'm going back to Cuba here in a few weeks. And it'll come in handy because you used a little kiosk format when you're using global entry. My friends have had it, and I've been the one who's held everybody up because I'm, you know, some schmo that has to go through all the typical nonsense. But if you do this and you go through the program, it's $100. It's good for 5 years. And you also have the added benefit of getting approved for TSA pre when you're flying domestically. So it's a pretty good deal.
There you go.
And expedite your process through, you know, TSA security and your travel through, you know, the airlines and all that security nonsense we have to deal with. Now, I'm wondering if I was flying, as a private pilot, wouldn't that help too?
Really, it's really not going to help you out much there because you're still going to have to clear customs no matter what.
Yeah, but, I mean, you wouldn't use a kiosk necessarily. No. They wouldn't have that set up at the FBOs right. Or whatever. It'd be a different...
Correct.
You know, we already kind of get that expedited process, I guess.
Yeah, because we don't have to deal with all the TSA stuff. The only thing you have to do when you're flying privately is you have to let the customs agents know, both, you know, in this case, in the Bahamas and in the U.S., that you're coming and going.
Yeah, okay. So but if I tell them, hey, by the way, I'm global entry certified, and kind of give them a thumbs up look, you know?
They'll figure that out when they vet you.
Like, cavity search!
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, well, don't do what I would do, I guess, is the moral of the story.
Well, but, no, you know, it still works for you just simply because, you know, you travel commercially a lot as well.
Yeah,
so
right.
It makes sense for you.
Okay, all right. If I'd want to commit more than $100 and just buy an airplane, that would be like the ultimate global entry.
There you go.
Okay, I can look at it that way as well. I'll use that argument when I'm trying to sell the whole concept to the wifey. All right.
Is that going to be on your anniversary dinner?
Exactly. Hey, guess what we're getting? Well, we'll try. All right. So a couple little tidbits. Last couple weeks, you missed us talking about drones again.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you heard about the whole London incident. And
yes.
And, you know, I predicted it, and it finally happened. It was interesting. I saw another thing this week about that. You know, where this drone supposedly had contact with an airplane at Heathrow International Airport in London. You know, we were talking about how it'd be bad, or I saw a guy last week who said it would be bad if a drone actually flew into the engine because of the lithium ion batteries. They could explode, blah, blah, blah. And that would be bad for everyone, obviously. But then I see another one today. And everyone was touting, like, hey, this is the first time. And he said, well, it's just the first one we know about. And I'm like, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Like, they've been keeping it under wraps, or you think they just didn't know?
I think they're just saying it, you know. They
You think it's happened and the government has just kind of kept it under the radar?
No.
What? What do you think's that? What are you saying then?
Because if it did something like that, it's going to cause aircraft damage.
Right.
And you have to report that.
Okay. So you're saying that it may have happened, but it didn't really cause any damage, so they didn't report
right.
It because it had been more trouble than it was worth. Or maybe they didn't even realize it.
Yes.
Okay. Good point. I gotcha. All right. Well, here's another little offshoot of the drone story. Not that specific one. However, Arizona is one of the states among several, I guess, in the U.S. that is trying to open their doors or skies to drones, to be drone friendly. And what they're doing, like the state government is passing rules or laws that will prohibit local cities to, you know, restrict drones or set up like a state level, you know, drone ordinance or whatever that all drone companies like Google, Amazon, and those guys would have to abide by, that would override any local state or local city ordinance that would prohibit drones, you know, flying over your backyard and that kind of thing. So they want to be Google, you know, Amazon and friendly and bring their business to town. Say, hey, bring your drones. We love your drones. We got you covered. You can fly them wherever you want.
But they still have to deal with the Federal Aviation Authority on that.
You would think.
Well, they have to. I mean, that's federal. So it's,
yeah,
it covers every state.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, they're trying to bring business to their state, which I understand, but they're also, you know, are they kind of, I don't know, making it more difficult for pilots by being so drone friendly, you think? Or I don't know.
You know, I don't know if they are or not.
Yeah.
We've got some customers at the flight school that use drones on a regular basis.
Yeah, I saw one flying around my neighborhood this week.
What, one of our customers?
Well, maybe. Hopefully. Yeah, because it's very close. They've saw a drone flying over our little cul-de-sac last week. Yeah.
They've got...
what you looking at, boy?
They've got video businesses and the hoops that they have to jump through, especially here right downtown Orlando.
Right.
There's like eight different agencies that they have to contact.
Well, yeah, you get the local cities, and there's this neighborhood has restrictions over this one, and that's what they're trying to standardize.
So it'll help that.
All right. And I guess that's a good thing. We'll give them a plus on that one.
Yeah.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. By the way, Tom Haynes from AOPA, I did reach out to him to have him on the show today, Keith, but he couldn't make it. He texted me back and said, what do you think? I was like, but he sent a picture, and there's like pyramids in the background of the picture. He's in the friggin' desert of Egypt or where, yeah. Isn't that where? Yeah. Yeah. He's there. I told him, I said, look, dude, Keith just survived Zika. Be careful. They probably got it there, too. And you got the added danger of mummies. So, you know, be careful out there in the desert, my friend. So maybe he'll join us here next week. I don't know how long he's traveling. Actually, I do know he's on a trek around the world. So he was in Germany a couple weeks ago.
How would you like
ago.
To have his job?
He's got a pretty good gig, almost as good as ours.
Almost.
Actually, it is better than ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few, and he's one of them. But yeah, he was at some German air show that I guess is the biggest air show in Germany. You know, we were talking about a little bit about this last week, not that particular show, but we were talking about electric planes, me and Captain Ed, and evidently Siemens has an electric plane over there that they were showcasing at that show that I saw featured on AOPA Live, and it looked impressive. This thing has like over 300 horsepower.
Yeah.
Electric. So it's an acrobatic plane. What's going on? How are they light years ahead of us? Literally light years. Which, yeah, maybe.
Pun intended there.
Yeah. How is that possible? What is going on over there?
Well, I mean, they're just working at it, you know? I mean,
it only flies for like 20 minutes or something.
And that's the issue, you know, the weight issue and the charging issue. So 20 minutes, where are you going to go right around here for 20 minutes?
Well, that fast, you'd get pretty far, couldn't you?
Well, just because it has 300 horses doesn't mean it's going to go real fast.
No. Hmm. Well, I thought it had to if it was an acrobatic plane. Don't those planes have to go super fast? They have a lot of torque. Yeah. Is that what it is? More torque as opposed to speed? Hmm. Well, the technology is coming.
It is coming. They just got to keep them from burning up.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
You know,
yeah.
Can't use lithium ion batteries in there.
Well, they do, and I guess you just got to make sure you're not in it when they do burn up.
That's right.
Yeah, one of those.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Can I let you in on a little secret?
A secret? Just you and me? Sorry, that had to come out. Go on.
I'm not going golfing. I'm taking my first flying lessons today. I always dreamed of being a pilot.
Oh, Jay, that's fantastic. And I totally get it. I had a crush on the pilot who flew the crop duster back home. He had big, broad shoulders and a deep, husky voice that, in retrospect, could have been pesticide-related.
Can you promise me a sky that's trouble-free and clear, so it's safe for me to fly?
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me and Captain Keith. I didn't know that was a pesticide-induced voice that you have.
I was just curious about the same thing.
Yeah.
I guess I have to check into that.
Well, I'm just saying. Evidently, that's one excuse of why that happened. All right. So,
They have the broad shoulders, though.
Okay. Well, it depends on their perspective, I guess.
Yes.
If they're in the back seat, they might look. I don't know. I'm just saying. Anyway, we'll leave that alone because that'll just get awkward. Let's talk about.
Yes.
Let's talk about some other stuff we saw in the news this week. And I know it caught your eye too. This location or this float plane, they got some coverage, this base. And I didn't know this was an issue. And maybe it's not so much an issue for us here in Florida where we're based out of. Because, I see float planes, not all the time, but they're not an uncommon occurrence. Even in Orlando with all the lakes that we have. You'll see a float plane flying around every once in a while.
And, oh, yeah. A lot of people have them based at their house.
Yeah, but I guess in other places of the country, it's not as common to have them. And there was an article, was it AV Web? Is that where you saw it? Or one of the...
Aero News is where I saw it.
Okay. So they had a thing about this location on how to, once you get certified with float plane certification... You have a tendency not to fly because you don't have a plane unless you buy one.
Right.
And they're not easily, rentable, I guess, in a lot of places in the country. Even here, I don't know. Can you just rent a float plane here?
There's some places that will allow you to do it.
Yeah.
If you've done your training there.
Yeah.
Winter Haven has a base there that will...
Okay, yeah, right there on the lake down there in South Florida. Okay, South Orlando,
right.
Understood. Now, but that's just not the case in a lot of other places.
Right.
So this location, where was it?
Kalispell, I think that's how you say it. Kalispell, Montana.
It's in Montana.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's northwest Montana.
Okay. So, and they're obviously on a big lake complex, I guess, or waterway somewhere.
Well, just over there. That whole area up there has got all kinds of lakes and mountains and stuff, and so they sell it as the backcountry experience.
Uh-huh.
And so it doesn't matter what time of year you go. Summertime, you can land on the lakes.
Right.
Wintertime, they put skis on the airplane, and you can.
Well, I saw that on AOPA Live too. That's where I saw this. I didn't read it because why read?
Well, you can't.
Yeah. And, no, it was on AOPA Live. That's where I saw Tom and the gang. I think it was their reporter guy had went out with them. And he flew out there. And, they showed some of the scenery where they'd anchored their float planes up on this beach lake. And there was a fire going on, an awesome sunset. It was like, wow, that did look pretty amazing. So that's what they do. They fly out to these remote places and camp out for the night kind of thing? Or
They call it the backcountry experience. They can do, anything. You can get your seaplane rating with them. If you just want to have the experience, you can do either mountain flying, flying into really tight areas up in the mountains. How do you get in? How do you get out? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or you can do lakes. So it's really kind of what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Or it's a combination of them all.
Yeah. Now, those sound
tailor it for every individual to see exactly what you want.
Well, I got to tell you, the Montana thing, the video was pretty remarkable, what I watched. And I'm not, it may not have been the same place. I don't know. But it was a float plane thing. And it looked pretty cool. But it looked like they were flying out to these remote places and went to a lodge, stayed overnight. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was a big rustic place. And like I said, fireplace, whole thing. That would be really cool. But for me, now we've talked about this before, you know, I love going down to the Caribbean and doing some diving. You know, whether it's like the Bahamas next week as well, but I've thought a float plane would be the way to go for me. However, the downside for what I would want to do is that I'd be landing on the ocean, and you have a lot more problems with the water as opposed to flying on a, you know, landing on a lake. I mean, still have, you know, seas and issues on, even on a lake, but. You know, the ocean's even more unpredictable in that regard. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but, you know, where you would be landing, you're not landing out in the middle of the ocean.
Well, if I want to dive in a really cool, well, yeah, you're right. No, even the places I'd want to dive would be protected in some fashion.
In some fashion, they would be. Yeah,
right.
Whereas, you know, landing on a glass smooth lake, mm-hmm. I don't have my seaplane rating
yet,
but... I've been told that that is more difficult than if it has a little bit of chop.
Why would that be?
Because of the depth perception.
Hmm.
When it's just nice and flat and like glass, you know, it makes it difficult to judge the depth.
When you would flare, like on
right,
a typical exactly. runway thing?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, I never
so
thought about
it's,
that.
It's a little bit better if it's got just a little bit of chop because you've got more... it just helps you judge the distance from you to the water.
Yeah, but I guess it is the same kind of thing. You would have to flare just like you would.
Right.
Hmm. And if you didn't flare, you would just bang harder. Is that right?
Well, depends on if you're coming down. You might dip the front of the either pontoons or skis into the water or
and
the
that
snow.
Would end poorly.
And that would
yeah.
Yeah, that would be a poor ending.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, that's good to know. But I don't know. That would be pretty awesome. Do you know anybody who's doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Are they flying over to the Bahamas and the Caribbean and stuff like that? Can we get them on the phone and have them just fly me over there next week and kind of knock out two birds with one stone?
Well, I don't know if I could do it by next week. But,
oh,
you know.
You're worthless.
You're finally figuring that out, huh? Ed figured that out a long time
ago.
Well,
okay. I don't know, but that would be kind of cool, though.
The only reason I'm still around is because you hadn't figured it out yet. Well, it's been nice, folks.
Yeah, well, you know.
This will be my last show.
We have that in common. We're both worthless. That's why we get along so well. All right, so that would be one use or one way to look at it from my perspective. And so I guess I would rather go to the Caribbean than Montana. I mean, just because of that. Because I'd want to look at it more from a practicality standpoint for the future for me. I still haven't decided, though. You know, I like the idea of having a plane on floats, but I still don't know if, you know, having the floats and giving up the performance that you would lose by putting floats on your airplane, if that would be worth it. Because island hopping, you know, if you have floats, sure, you're going to have a little bit more flexibility because you could land on... land
right.
or sea, but I don't know if it's that big a deal because they all have landing strips on most of the islands over there.
Yeah, in the Bahamas, just about every single one of them does.
Yeah, so I don't know. What would you say in that regard? You just have to kind of weigh it one half dozen of the other?
Yeah, you really have to. Anytime you're going to buy an airplane, you got to buy it for what you're going to use it 75% of the time for.
Mm, okay.
Because you're never going to find an airplane that'll work 100% of every mission.
Yeah. And see, my problem is somewhat is that, you know, as cool as it would be to dive directly off the airplane, that's not really the wisest thing to do if you're going to fly at any altitude. After diving, that
right.
is your problem. Now, if you stay below 1,000 feet, you're okay. But, you know, even around Orlando, we usually have to fly above 1,000 feet. So,
well, over the water, you certainly can.
Yeah.
But that creates other issues.
Well, once you get back over the coast.
Failure,
well, true, right.
You know.
Exactly.
Of course, if you're on floats.
Yeah, but even if you were following that rule, and, you know, that's the general diving rule. If you go
right.
above 1,000 feet, you're asking for trouble. But you could do that. And many of my friends, you know, don't necessarily follow those flying rules as strictly as they should. But if you did want to follow that rule and say you were going to do something as crazy as that and like go fly off on a float plane and do that and come back to the States from the Bahamas and stay under 1,000 feet, assuming they'd let you. I guess there's no restriction.
No.
But once you got back to the States, you'd have to join the flight pattern, and it'd be above 1,000 feet, right, wouldn't it? So you would end up going above that regardless. Even, you know, you'd have to stay, you know, legal with the tower, or happy, keep the tower happy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of areas where you could fly at 1,000 feet.
And they would let you just come in that way?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You could ask for a variance. Hey, I'm a diver. I need special attention.
I mean, if you're flying VFR, you know, you can fly it at whatever altitude you want as long as you meet all the requirements. So,
yeah.
You know.
But they would allow you then join flight pattern at a lower altitude like that?
Well, if you're going into an airport and the traffic pattern is a little bit higher than that, you have no choice but to join
the flight pattern.
But typically in Florida, most of the traffic patterns are, you're right at 1,000 or 1,100 feet.
Yeah, okay. Well, decisions. It still would be cool. Maybe I need to find someone who would fly us there first and kind of knock it off the list, try it a few times. If you're listening, call me.
He'll take that empty
leg. Phone's not ringing. What the hell's wrong with these people?
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Who's your buddy? Is he your pal? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain how we use the buddy system in diving next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
For many, scuba diving is a social sport, but that's only one reason we use the buddy system. Ideally, dive buddies are evenly matched in skill level and can assist each other if necessary. They're not a crutch to lean on, but a backup system that, if used properly, can make your dive safer and more enjoyable. And if you're diving right, your buddy will likely end up being your pal, too. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, and Captain Keith. We are your crew navigating the latest aviation news and information and a few little tidbits that are kind of useless but interesting just the same from days gone by. All right, here's one. I think this is from Flying Magazine. I stumbled across this little nugget. Keith, Raiders of the Lost Ark. You ever see this movie?
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw a movie. That was only over 20 years old, but he saw it. This is a Just Plain Radio first.
I think I saw it like 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Really? Okay, that'd make more sense. Yeah, the one where he melts his face off, you know, and they open the Ark of the Covenant. That ring a bell? No?
No.
Maybe? Of course not. All right, well, anyway, it was the Raiders of the Lost
Ark
movie.
Something about some big rock coming down behind him or something like that.
There was one of those scenes, yeah. But there was also an airplane scene in that movie where the German pilot, he's a big, bulky guy. You know, he's chasing after Indiana Jones, and there's a German plane in the background that comes, swings around after a big, you know, shootout and chops him up. He, like, the propeller, he's like right before he's getting ready to, you know, take Indiana Jones out, the prop swings around and whacks him and cuts him to shreds, right? You remember that scene?
I don't remember that scene.
Of course not. But it did happen.
I don't know why I wouldn't remember something like that, though, because that would be kind of cool to see.
It was Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm pretty sure I got the right movie. But anyway, it's a movie, and that airplane, I didn't realize this till I read it in some weird article this week, and it was talking about how that plane did not exist. So, you know, which is what? Hollywood actually made something up? Get out!
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So, but that airplane that the Germans, it was, you know, in the setting, it actually was based on some design thing that they'd found, like some state-of-the-art, you know, German prop at the rear of the wing type of thing. It looked like almost like a stealth type of plane from today. You know, what was it, the B-2? No, what is the stealth? Is that that? Which one am I thinking of? The one that looks like a bat wing, like Batman's plane.
Oh, the SR-71?
Okay, we'll go with that. Whatever. But anyway, the props were on the back of the wing, which is like, no, that doesn't
But that
happen.
Didn't have props on it, the SR-71. That's
well,
jet.
No, but I mean, but this was like, you know,
okay,
from back
I
in
got
the,
you. I'm following you.
Whenever Raiders of the Lost Ark was. So anyway, the plane didn't technically exist, but it was based on some artist's renderings of some German concept planes of the day or something like that. And so, first of all, I didn't know that plane didn't exist. I thought it was a war, you know, plane from the Germans from back in the day. So that was some little tidbit I used. But they dug into the fact that this plane, first of all, didn't exist, but could it have existed? And was it a viable design? And it was interesting because when they shot the movie, evidently, the plane that they created for that scene was thrown away or, you know, was destroyed as a prop. Thing. You know, they didn't think, this stupid movie, this won't do anything. And, you know, the plane disappeared, so they didn't have that to go back to. However, Disney World, right here in our backyard, has the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. Now, I think they just closed it. And it's been switched out into some kind of Star Wars thing. Had you ever seen that show?
No.
At the Hollywood Studios? It was a good stunt show. And they recreated that plane scene that I've seen God knows how many times. And once again, I had no idea that wasn't a real plane. I thought it was a plane, some goofy design. And that what they did, they did a scaled-down version of what the prop they had created for the movie for this show at Disney World.
And, leave it to Disney to do something like that.
Yes. And I remember this plane vividly because, you know, in the show, the big scene at the end is it would swing around and chop the guy up into bits and blood would spray everywhere and go, oh, my God, this is so bad. Mickey would never approve. And, you know, kids were like traumatized. That was awesome. But I always wondered about that plane. And they said that the design just probably would not get off the runway, even though it was cool and it looked like it should be able to, because of where the props were mounted. They were conveniently mounted at the back, towards the back of the wing, for the actor's sake, so they could jump up and down on the plane wing and have a fight scene and make a good movie, but wouldn't necessarily make a good flying machine. So there you go. Now you know that plane in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Would not have actually flown. Would have you ever known that until, you know, this little conversation we had today?
No, because I didn't even know that there was an airplane in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't because it wouldn't fly. So it just was a flying machine now you know it was just a bunch of Hollywood.
So why are we
posing.
Talking about this?
Well, I told you.
This
was
a lot of Hollywood stuff?
This was just a
little. They would never fake anything.
Aviation nugget. That you can file away for your friends and, you know,
and
news.
This was Flying Magazine?
I believe it was from Flying Magazine, yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So that now you know. that they lied to us.
Raiders of the Lost Ark again.
Hey, it was a great movie. It's actually pretty cheesy now, but still. But if you went back to look at it and look at that plane, you're like, hey, that's kind of a cool plane. Oh, man, Greg told me that plane would never fly. See, I told you.
And is that it?
No, I don't think so. That's not from Raiders of the Lost Ark. You're Googling on your phone. What does Siri say? Siri, pull up the Raiders of the Lost Ark airplane. Then maybe she would. But anyway, so there you go. That might be something you can, you know, share with your pilot friends and amuse them or debate whether they think it actually would fly. There were some people that thought, you know, when I say it wouldn't fly, they don't know. But they're just saying when you look at it and the design of it and the technology that was available at that time during, you know, the German war time frame, what they were doing Raiders of the Lost Ark, the technology wouldn't have existed for that plane to fly. But it looked great in a movie.
Well, I will check it out. I'll even get the movie again and watch it just so I can see it.
It's either that or Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.